How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Rolling Lines, an Apples and Genos production. My name is Josh Hutchinson, and I'll be your host. I am riding solo on finals week, week 25, finals week for most of you. But I'm going to be talking about moves for the rest of the week, power play changes around the league, 0G candidates, and I'll be taking mailbag questions from the Discord. So without further ado, let's go. What's up, everybody? Like I said, it is finals week for most of you. I hope that you're all still alive in all of your fantasy leagues. I'm alive in a couple. It's been a tough year for me. I know I've said it a number of times. I've spread myself way too thin. Really gonna have to cut back next year so that I can kind of focus up on the leagues that really matter. I'm in the bronze medal matchup in my Cupful league, so I will still be promoted, just not to as high as I was hoping, with the potential to win that league. That was a bit of an upset, but still alive in a couple of finals matchups. But yeah, like I said, I hope you are too. Let's dive in. So last week, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Vegas Golden Knights both were 3-0 through the week. Philadelphia, Washington, the LA Kings, the Predators, and the New Jersey Devils were all winless. A bit of a surprise for the Predators. They had been red hot, but they've kind of cooled off as of late. The LA Kings, Washington Capitals, Philadelphia Flyers, all teams that are holding playoff spots, but just barely are. The playoff race right now, especially at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, is it's brutal. Like you almost hope that the eighth seed just gets eliminated and you give the top seed a bye or something like that. It's a tough group of teams there at the bottom, but hopefully someone can grab hold really make it a respectable race there. Sidney Crosby led the league in scoring over the last week. He had 8 points in four games. Connor McDavid, Tage Thompson both had 7 points in three. Those were your top guys. Tage Thompson really coming on, had a four goal game the other night. Of course, if you had Tage Thompson, a lot of your teams are eliminated. But if you have him and you're in the finals, you are pretty stoked about that. At this point, he's finally waking up. Maybe that will carry over into next year. Let's look at the schedule for the rest of this week 25. From Thursday to Sunday, we've got a number of teams that all have three games. We've got Carolina, Columbus, Colorado, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Ottawa, San Jose, St. Louis, and Washington. We could look at the off nights. No one has more than one technical off night, but Saturday is the busiest night with 11 games. So honestly, you could pick from most of these teams. Just take a look at your lineups, set them for the rest of the week and see where you have spaces available. You may be able to get a player from any of these teams into your lineup. So Carolina, Colorado, and Washington, it is worth noting, do avoid the 11 game Saturday. So honestly, they probably are the most likely to fit into your lineup players from these teams. And then another schedule quirk here is Seattle and Vegas are both done after Friday for the week. So if you have any of these players, doesn't matter what caliber they are, if this is your finals week, you could drop anyone. I'm talking Jack Eichel, I'm talking Jared McCann, I'm talking Alex Pietrangelo, Shea Theodore, any of these big names, Jonathan Marchessault, you can drop these guys. And you can try and maximize those ads to finish out the week and win your chip. All right, let's go to shift change. I'm going to just talk about some guys that you could be adding from these teams that I mentioned. Just a few guys I want to highlight that are sub 50% rostered on Yahoo. The first one is from the Colorado Avalanche, Arturi Lehkonen, and he is 42% rostered. Right now he's playing 5v5 with Duhaime, Brandon Duhaime, and Casey Mittelstadt. So that's not necessarily the greatest 5v5 deployment, but he did have an appearance on power play one in the last game with Nichushkin out. They have kind of been flip-flopping. The last game they had a couple different units. They had Mittelstadt on one and Lehkonen on the other as the fifth player. They're still rocking with Jonathan Drouin, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar, obviously. But yeah, Lehkonen and Mittelstadt are the other two players. I think if Lehkonen is on the top power play, he would be my preferred target out of him and Mittelstadt. Over the last five games, is 66th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 at 5v5 in the league. So still getting to the net, still getting those high danger opportunities. So Arturi Lehkonen is a guy that I would definitely be looking into picking up if he's available. Obviously he's still, 42% rostered, in a lot of cases, he's probably not available for you, but, it is possible. Jonathan Drouin, he's worth a look, 34% rostered. So probably a little bit more likely to be available. He's playing line one, power play one. He has for a good chunk of the season. His underlyings are not great. They're not horrible. They're not as bad as they've been over his career, but they're still not great. They're not eye popping. He does have 9 points in his last seven games and is playing well over 20 minutes per game over that span. They really like to run with the big boys, and he's playing with the big boys right now. So getting a lot of time on ice. So and starting to put points on the board. Well, not starting. He has a good chunk of the year, but he has been putting some points on the board. So Jonathan Drouin, a guy that I would be looking at just because of deployment at this point. Josh Manson, also from the Avalanche, he's good for bangs. He hits and he blocks. So if you're looking for that in a Cats league, that's a guy that you could be looking at as well. Kirill Marchenko from the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's 6% rostered. He is line one, power play one right now. Over the last five games, 73rd in the league in shots per 60 at 5v5. And he has 3 points in his last two games. Obviously things have been up and down for Marchenko all season. He did hit the 20 goal mark this year for the second straight year. That's two straight years. The first two seasons of his career where he has 20 goals. I think this guy has a good future ahead of him, and honestly he could be a guy that you could be picking him up, and he could reap benefits for you in your matchup this week. Arbor Jacki from the Canadiens, he's good for hits. It gets tons of hits there, and plays a decent amount. So that's a guy that you could be looking at in Cats leagues. Yuri Slavkovsky is a guy I wanted to touch on from Montreal. He is 22% rostered. He has 11 points in his last 11 games, which is pretty impressive. Underlyings are not great, but his minutes are. He's playing 18 to 20 minutes. He's kind of solidified a spot on that top line with Suzuki and Caulfield, which obviously is the best spot you can get on the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously it's well documented that Suzuki's underlying stats are not the greatest, but he does put points on the board. He has over 70 points this year. Slavkovsky is there. Cole Caulfield is his underlings are very good. He's had a bit of a down year in terms of luck and shooting percentage, but he does still generate a lot. And Slavkovsky has been pretty solid. Underlyings are not terrible. They're not great, but he's really taken a step here in his career, and he's starting to put points on the board too. So that's a guy that I would be looking at as well. Looking at Nashville, they've got a couple huge bangers. Obviously, the most ideal one is Jeremy Lauzon. He is a little less available than my next option, but so Jeremy Lauzon's a guy that you could look at. Pretty much tops in the league in hit rates this year. And then Luke Shen is another guy that's starting to play a little more consistently. Doesn't play as much as Lauzon in terms of time on ice, but he does get a ton of hits. He was top two in the league last year. Played a ton in Vancouver and Toronto, not getting as much ice time in Nashville, and has been a healthy scratch at times this year, but lately he has solidified a spot in that lineup, and had a couple games ago had an 8-hit game. So that that's a guy that could really rack up the hits for you, and he is a little more available than Lozon. So Luke Shen's a guy I'd be looking at too. Fabian Zetterlund has 6 points in his last five games for San Jose and is 49th in the league in shots per 60 over the last five games. So Fabian Zetterlund, I mean, San Jose's power play low-key has kind of been banging on all cylinders lately. So and Fabian Zetterlund has been pretty much tops in terms of generating offense there over the last little while. So that's a guy that I mean, if you're desperate, if you're in a deeper league where there's not a lot of options, that's a guy that I would be taking a close look at too. And on the St. Louis Blues, there's a couple guys that are a little bit more available. Braden Schenn has 8 points in his last nine games, and Jake Neighbors, 9 points in his last 10 games. They've both been pretty hot. Jake Neighbors playing on the top power play. Schenn is not, but they're both playing a decent amount of minutes, like 16, 17 minutes a game. And then both of them, they do have some peripheral, I mean, not in terms of shots, neither of them shoot a ton, but they're both pretty high efficiency shooters, and they hit a lot, both of them. So there is a little bit of value there in Bangers Cats formats as well. So those are two guys that I would be taking a very close look at, both playing high in the lineup in St. Louis. And then another one worth noting for Washington, Tom Wilson is back off of suspension. He has served the six games, has not gotten into the lineup yet, but he should be there in the next game. That's a guy, he's 36% rostered. A lot of people dropped him just because he was suspended, and they probably couldn't afford to keep him. So I think that's a guy that's a little more available than he probably should be, even in Bangers Cats format. So that's a guy I would be picking up as well. Doesn't generate as much as some of these other guys in terms of offense, but does have the hits and will play a decent amount, because Washington, they need to win. They're in a tight playoff race, and if you look at their lineup on paper, it's not amazing. So Tom Wilson, I think, is going to play some good minutes. And then in terms of drops, I mean, I mentioned Seattle and Vegas after Friday. They're done for the week, so you could be dropping anybody. And I mentioned that before, even the Eichels and the theaters of the world. All right, let's look at the power play planner. So we'll just look at a few here. Buffalo has Zach Benson on the top power play. He took the place of Dylan Cousins. So Tuck, Thompson, Benson, Dahlin, and JJ Paterka. Paterka has been red hot lately. If he's available, he probably isn't. That's a guy you could be looking at. But Zach Benson getting some exposure, not great in terms of the underlyings. His point production hasn't been super amazing, just his rookie season. So has struggled to find consistency in terms of his spot in the lineup as well. So I just thought it was worth noting. Mackenzie Weegar back on the top power play for Calgary, taking the place of Miramanov. Also worth noting. So a little bit more offensive upside. Colorado, I mentioned. Middlestat was the top power play, as was Lehkonen at times in that fifth spot. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of grabs hold there, unless Nichushkin does come back before the end of the week. But Colorado, again, has three games. So Middlestat and Lehkonen, both guys you want to be taking a close look at. Columbus, Alex Nylander back on the top power play. With Boone Jenner out, he took his spot. So he's there with Gaudreau, Voronkov, Marchenko, and Werenski. Had two goals in a recent game. So he's kind of back on the score sheet again. He's been red hot. 10 goals in 17 games since he's come to Columbus. And I believe it was he had 13 or 14 goals in his career going into this stretch. So really figuring it out in Columbus. Florida, we've got Tarasenko and Eetu Luostarinen on the top power play, with Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk out of the lineup. Sorry, I just had to pause to watch Ryan Reeves beat the fuck out of Tanner Janot there. Tarasenko, Luostarinen getting that spot on power play one. Not sure how long Verhaeghe and Tkachuk will be out. It sounds like Verhaeghe's week to week. One of these guys, probably Tarasenko, will at least be sticking on that top power play. But if Kachuk's out, Luostarinen's an interesting choice. I would have expected Sam Bennett to get some time. But Luce Ryan getting some burn there. So definitely worth a look. He's very available. Minnesota, they've still got Declan Chisholm quarterbacking their power play. I looked at his numbers. His underlying numbers are awful. So, and really across the board, even though he's getting this exposure, he's not really doing a ton with it. So, but yeah, if you're really desperate, that's a guy that is getting some power play time. Pittsburgh, they've loaded up their top power play again. Malkin, Crosby, Rust, Michael Bunting, Eric Carlson. Michael Bunting may be worth a look to finish out the week. It's well documented that Pittsburgh's power play hasn't been great. They've been playing a little bit better of late now that they're completely out of the race. But I don't know. Michael Bunting may be worth a look there. And then Vancouver has got Connor Garland back on power play one. So he is a guy that has a little bit of value again, getting some good minutes and some good opportunity. I've said a number of times, I like him in that spot in the net front. Toronto, they did have Connor Timmins quarterbacking the top power play, but now Morgan Riley is back. But Max Domi still getting some power play time there. So that's a guy that you could look at, although Toronto only has one game left this week and it's on Saturday. So probably not a guy at this point that you want to be picking up. And then Winnipeg, Gabe Vilardi is back. He took Toffoli's spot on power play one. So there you go. That is the power play planner. Let's go to from zero to hero. The goalie that I did want to note that has been getting lots of burn, and it's been very upsetting to me because Tristan Jarry has been a guy that I've held for most of the season through thick and thin. But Alex Nedeljkovic, 16% rostered. He has started six straight games for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tristan Jarry, I believe, is out with an injury. He's won four of those six games, Nedeljkovic has, with a .915 save percentage over that stretch. So really playing well for Pittsburgh down the stretch. I think that's a guy that you could pick up to finish out the week to get you a couple starts if you need them. Columbus, Danil Tarasov, 6% rostered. I said last week, I think he's maybe the most... not getting enough respect right now. He has a .936 in his last seven games. He is alternating with Elvis Merzlikins, and maybe that's part of the reason he's not getting a lot of respect. But in the games that he's playing really well and getting tons of shot volume. I'm talking like 45 shots, 38 shots, like tons of shots. Columbus gives up so much. They're an absolute mess. But Danil Tarasov starting to figure things out. He's a really highly touted goalie, and that's a guy with three games left in the week. He's probably going to get a couple starts, so he'd be a guy that I'd be looking at too. Detroit, Alex Lyon is 36% rostered now. He had kind of been losing starts, so people had been dropping him, but he has started four or five and now plays on Friday, Sunday to finish out the week. He honestly is probably your most enticing goalie stream. Detroit is in the playoff race, so they're going to be wanting to win games, and Alex Lyon's been their best guy, so I think he gets both of those starts. So that's a guy I'd be looking close at. Jake Allen, 37% rostered. He's been hot and cold, got shelled in the last game against Pittsburgh in the third period. He's only going to start one more game this week, so probably not a guy you're wanting to be looking at. And honestly, if you have Jake Allen, if you've been riding the hot wave, maybe you want to drop him for Alex Lyon to finish out the week, because he'll get you two starts as opposed to Jake Allen getting just one. And then if the Philly goaltending situation has become a little bit more interesting, Sam Ersson, 36% rostered, has been pretty inconsistent, has been the volume starter, but he got pulled and Ivan Fedotov got some time, and Torts had glowing reviews in the postgame presser after a really tough game. Had nothing but amazing things to say about Fedotov. So I wonder if he gets a look here in desperate times going forward as Philly tries to solidify that playoff spot. So Fedotov's a guy that I'd be watching very closely. Watch that game day goalie starts on Twitter. Anaheim, Lucas Dostal has got a couple starts in a row. I wonder if he gets a look or a stretch of games to close out the year. That's something that you should be keeping an eye on too, because he's another guy that's really available. So Yeah, I think that's it for my zero G targets. I mean, I think Alex Lyon and Alex Nedeljkovic are probably the guys that I would be going with to finish out the week. Danil Tarasov would be a close third. All right, so let's go to the hockey hotline. That is our mailbag segment. I'm going to be taking some questions from the Discord. The first one is from the Porkman. He says, who do you think has been the biggest trade deadline boom and bust in terms of fantasy value? That's a great question. I think in terms of bust, I mean, the easy answer is Elias Lindholm. That's a guy that it's really not worked out for and is not playing high in the lineup for Vancouver right now. So he is definitely the bust. That's an easy answer, a bit of a slam dunk. But I think that an honorable mention would be Tyler Toffoli. That's a guy that has not been able to figure it out in Winnipeg as of late and has lost his spot on the top power play. So maybe not a guy that was supposed to play on the top power play consistently when everyone's healthy, but he's getting less opportunity now. So I still like the deployment. I still like his situation playing with Monahan and Nikolai Ehlers. That's a really nice 5v5 situation. But yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough for Tyler Toffoli, and I expected a little bit more out of him. But obviously, I mean, in terms of boom and bust at the trade deadline, you don't really expect for guys that get moved to absolutely kill it right off the bat. And honestly, most of the time, it doesn't work out so well. Maybe in terms of fantasy value, like it doesn't necessarily increase. But I mean, looking forward here, or sorry, looking back, did you know that since the trade deadline, Matthias Ekholm leads the league in 5v5 points? That's a really interesting stat. Not a trade deadline acquisition, but I thought that's pretty eye popping looking at the stats here. Jake Guentzel has 16 points in 11 games, so that is probably the biggest boom. He's getting tons of deployment in Carolina in a place that doesn't necessarily hand a really nice deployment out. So that's a guy that I think is really thriving in his new spot. In terms of an honorable mention here, I mean, we talk about Florida struggling a little bit. Since the trade deadline, actually they've been struggling a lot since the trade deadline, but Vladimir Tarasenko has 10 goals in 12 games. And that's without a ton of power play one time. That's just playing 5v5, mostly on the top line. So Tarasenko, I think is another guy that, I mean, his fantasy value has actually increased. And that's something that we did expect. Anthony Duclair is another guy. I mean, I mentioned on the trade deadline stream that I thought that he was the low key, big get at the trade deadline, and he's also been really solid. He has 9 points in 10 games since the trade deadline. So that's another one. I'll pin a badge to my own chest on that take there, although I don't think I was alone in saying that. All right, Reese's Pieces asks, is John Carlson actually back, or is this just a hot streak? 9 points in his last 9 games. I'm wondering how we should evaluate him for next year. That's a really good question. Obviously, it's been a really tough year overall offensively for the Capitals. I know they're still in a playoff spot and battling it out, but honestly, offensively, they've been pretty bad. Their power play has been bad, although of late it's been good. It's really strange. It's hard to nail down what's real and what's not with this team. So John Carlson has taken a nosedive in terms of his individual rate stats this year. His shots per 60 is near the lowest of his career, the lowest since 2012. His individual Corsi 4 per 60, the lowest since 2013. And his individual scoring chances 4 per 60, I mean, it's not terrible. Last year he was popping, but just wasn't converting. This year it seems like things have kind of tailed off for him. His on-ice rates are also, they're kind of closer to his career average, but there has been a decrease, a pretty significant decrease from last year, which is kind of surprising. It's really hard to evaluate. Let's take a look at him over this 9-game stretch here. Carlson is 34th in shots per 60 for defensemen over the last 9 games. We've got him clocked at 15th in individual shot attempts per 60. And in terms of individual scoring chances for per 60, obviously individual numbers, take them with a grain of salt for a defenseman. That's probably not the metric that you necessarily want to be looking at, but he's 12th over those 9 games. So really kind of popping up the list. And those are pretty sharp increases from what his numbers were, have been this year. So it's really, it's going to matter who's around him. That's the key factor. So obviously Ovechkin has shown over this last little bit that he still has gas in the tank, although maybe not as consistent as he's been in years past. But I really do think it's going to matter who they surround John Carlson with his production next year. So I think I'd probably still look at him as like a 50 to 60 point defenseman, which is a dip from what he's been known to get over the last few years. But what's his point pace right now? Yeah, he has 47 points in 74 games, so he is gonna get over 50 points. But yeah, I don't look at him as necessarily a premium defenseman. I don't rate him quite as high as I did in previous years. Just looking at the numbers over the season this year. But I do still hold him in high regard, and honestly, probably I still think he's probably a little bit underrated in terms of what he's likely to do next year. Soch asks, way too early top 10 draft picks for redraft leagues next year. This is a fantastic question. So number one, we've obviously got Nate McKinnon. Number one, we've obviously got Connor McDavid. Number two, I would say at this point, is probably Nate McKinnon. He has had just an unbelievable season, very consistent. And then we're looking at Austin Matthews in the mix there. He probably goes third. Then there's a pretty interesting discussion about whether you want to take Draisaitl or Nikita Kucherov. I think I personally would be pretty interested in Kucherov, although I think Draisaitl probably still gets a little bit of respect in terms of drafting. So Draisaitl, I think, is in that top five, but Nikita Kucherov is definitely solidified right in there. So that's the easy top five. That's kind of been the top five for the last few years. So I would say McDavid, McKinnon, Matthews, Cooch, Draisaitl. Then it gets a little more interesting. I think David Pastrnak is probably your next guy. Mikko Rantanen is right there. But there's a lot of guys that could round out this top 10. If you look at defensemen, you could talk about Cale Makar. Cale Makar is probably the only guy that you want to be taking at that point. Roman Josi, I think there's a significant argument for. But looking at the Kakupful rankings, we've got guys like Artemi Panarin, who's really taken a step this year in terms of his shot volume and just overall points. His conversion in general, he has 44 goals, which is a career high, and has 108 points so far in 75 games. That's a guy that I think you could almost take in the first round at this point. It wouldn't surprise me if that's a new normal for Panarin. I think you look at guys like Philip Forsberg, who's had a fantastic year and has really been a guy that hasn't been respected. He's got over 300 shots already in 75 games, 84 points, 133 hits. So that hit volume is really nice there too. And then there's a guy like William Nylander, who was getting drafted in the early second round this past year, has that right wing eligibility. So that is always a factor. I think William Nylander is a guy that could be seen in the top 10 this or next season as well, or at least in first rounds. And then guys like JT Miller, Sam Reinhart, I don't think is going to get, I think a lot of people, and rightly so, are not believing that Sam Reinhart is going to repeat a 50 goal season next year. And I think they'd be right about that. But I think you look at guys like Makar, you look at guys like Panarin, and you look at guys like, I guess Kirill Kaprizov, I think will probably have a bounce back year next year. But I think you'll see guys like Jason Robertson, Matthew Tkachuk dropping out of the top 10 next year. So it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. I mean, and that this conversation with myself is getting me hyped for draft season next year already. All right. Dry Saddle asks, I traded for top end Oilers and gave up not much going into next week with RNH, McDavid, Hyman, and Bouchard and Kane. Should I look at dropping one for a streamer spot? I think I think you'd probably be safe dropping Evander Kane in a points league. Obviously, he does provide you some value in a banger's cast. So if that's the case, I'd definitely be more hesitant. But I mean, his spot in the lineup has really diminished. Had never been a guy that gets power play time, but he's not getting exposure to the top guys. So I think that he is a guy that you could look at dropping to open a streamer spot. Everyone else is too valuable, so I don't think that you should be dropping those guys. That'd be the only guy I'd consider. Reese's Pieces again asks, also, let's make a deal for we call ourselves experts live on the air. I have one of Point, Panarin, or Crosby on the market, as I can only keep two and want to gauge your interest. I am very interested. I have one spot... One keeper spot that I traded Hedman to get some draft capital. He was going to be one of my keepers this year. So I'm very interested. I think Panarin is a guy that I'd be looking closely at next year. So Reese's Pieces, if you're interested, let's talk Artemi Panarin. I won't get into the nitty gritty, but let's send me a DM. Humble Pineapple, how do you fill the ever-expanding void left by the end of fantasy hockey and the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs? You know what? I go outside. I touch grass. I go golfing. Spend time with my family. You know, enjoy the sun. Because it is kind of the perfect time of year to not have shit to watch on TV. Because there's nice weather. So, yeah. I would say Humble Pineapple, just get outside, touch some grass, maybe take up an outdoor sport. I don't find that I have a lot of trouble filling that void with other things. Sosh also says, let's hope lots of A&G off-season content. That's an answer to Humble Pineapple. That is the plan. We're planning on having some good off-season content. So definitely keep an eye out for that. Max Power says, in a goalie jam again this week and should have listened to your advice last week, how would you rank the following going into this weekend? Gustafsson and Fleury tandem, Charlie Lindgren or Tarasov for potentially two starts, And then Grubauer or Decord, Quick, Ingram, Allen, Hofer for potential spot starts. Okay, so I would probably roll with Charlie Lindgren for two starts. Gustafsson Fleury, I think, is a little volatile at this point. You don't know who is going to, it's very possible that they split those starts. So I'd probably go with Charlie Lindgren out of those three, Lindgren, then Tarasov, and then one of Gustafsson or Fleury. And then in terms of spot starts, I would probably roll with, um, I'd honestly probably roll with Jonathan Quick out of those five. That would probably be my top choice just because of the team situation. He's been really solid this year. Then I'd go with either Grubauer or Joey Decord. Grubauer has been pretty solid. They've been alternating starts. If you want to pick one of them up for the Friday, you could probably drop them and then pick up one of these other guys. So you honestly could. I mean, maybe not utilizing your ads efficiently. I think that it's very possible to fit one of those Seattle guys into your lineup, whoever starts on Friday. So I'd probably go Quick, then one of the Seattle guys, then Jake Allen, then Hofer, then Ingram. I think Ingram's really fallen off and Arizona's had a tough time. He'd probably be at the bottom for me. Mouse or Man says, is it a bad idea to be considering dropping Elias Pettersson for a high-level streamer? He looks like he's playing injured and has been straight bad in the last 14 days. I'm not sure that I'd be doing that. Vancouver obviously has really struggled over the last little while. I think they're really... you're really seeing how much they need Thatcher Demko. Elias Pettersson's still playing a ton of minutes. I think you gotta go with your big boys. You gotta roll with Pettersson, because if you drop him and he ends up with a 3-point game, you're gonna be like, why did I do that? So I would never tell you to do that. And I quite frankly, I don't recommend it. And then the last question here is from Hard Day's Night. Low rostered, hits, block shots, cats targets for the weekend to save a stat cat in need. We've got a number of teams playing two games over the weekend. So I'm not sure if you're talking Saturday, Sunday, or if it's going into from Thursday to Sunday. But I did mention a few: Jeremy Lauzon, Luke Shen. Those are guys that you should be taking a close look at for hits. Josh Manson, another guy for Colorado. They've got three games: a Thursday, Friday, Sunday. And then you've got St. Louis, Jake Neighbors, and Braden Shen. Don't get a ton of shots, but they do get hits. They'll provide you a little bit of offense there too. On the Canadians, you got Arber Jacki. That's a guy that I'd be looking closely at. If you're looking for guys that are, if you're in a deeper league and you're looking for guys that are really not rostered a ton, Zach Bogosian, he's 0% rostered. But he does a little bit of everything. He shoots, he hits, he blocks, not a ton of each, but it has been known to have games where he gets 7 hits, 6 blocks. He's playing a ton of minutes right now for Minnesota. He's played over 21 in each of the last two games. It has been well over 18, minutes per game for quite a while now. So, that's a guy that I would look at too. They have two games. They have a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So Zach Bogosian's a guy that I would look at too. Yanni Hakanpaa, obviously he gets lots of hits and blocks. He's always a guy that I'd be considering. He also plays Saturday, Sunday for Dallas. Ivan Provorov is a good one for Columbus. He's only 9% rostered right now, but he's still hitting and blocking, and he provides a little bit of offense too here and there. So Provorov would be a guy that I would look at too. Eric Branson as well. Does hit and block, provides some shots, those are probably the ones that I'd be looking at. I think if I had to pick any of them, I'd probably go Jeremy Lauzon, but if he's not available, I think Ivan Provorov is probably going to play the most minutes and rack up the most blocks and shots out of most of those guys. Provorov, I think, is a great option there. All right, that's all I've got for tonight. Please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to those who already have. It's helped us a lot with our audience growth. We are 2 away from 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you listen on that platform, let's get a couple more. We always like reading them too. So really excited to get to that number. That's a really nice, nice round number. So, yeah, keep leaving us those reviews. It's really nice, even going into the off season. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We're slowly increasing, increasing the numbers there. But we'd like to increase them more. So again, if you listen to audio, but you're not really into the video, just give us a subscription over there if you like us. It helps us out a ton. Also, if you like our content, check out the Apples and Genos Patreon to support us on a monthly basis. Hop into the Apples and Genos Discord server. We're having lots of discussions about fantasy hockey in there. Shout outs to the band They're There for providing our music. Their Spotify link is in the episode description. Follow us on X. Nate is at Apples Genos. Blake is at Blake Creamer AG. And I'm at Just Joshin 41. Please practice safe stats and happy streaming. Have a good one, folks.